Exodus chapter 14. We've been deep into a series now on what to do during life's messes and stresses. And I can't tell you how many times over the last several weeks God has just allowed me to repeat the title of the message to somebody during the week. Somebody will say something, "Preacher, I'm in a bad way. I'm not doing so good." And I'm like, "Good thing I am where I am, because a part of his plan." Stop preaching at me, man. And yeah, if you were there on church on Sunday, you would have heard of that. You would have got that message. But it is amazing how applicable these messages are to everyday life. They just really are something that you can put in your Bible. It's something you can put on the fridge and just constantly understand that when we're going through things in the Christian life, it is just stopping. It's just settling down. It's just trusting God for what's happening in my life. We talked about, number one, trusting God's providence. Trusting God's providence. And we said we've got to understand principle number one here in Exodus chapter 14. The Bible says right there at the beginning of chapter 14, "The Lord spake unto Moses and speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp." God put them where he wanted to put them. And so the first principle we said about the trials of life and about the messes and stresses in our lives is that I am where I am because it's part of his plan. God has looked out further than me. God can see tomorrow. God can see the next day. God can see 5 weeks from now. God can see eternity future with eternity past. It boggles my mind that he can, but he can. And that's called his providence. And so while I'm going through what I'm going through, it does not matter that I don't think it's going to work out, or I don't think it's going to work out in my favor. I don't think I'm going to get through this. I don't think I'm going to be able to handle this. I am where I am because it's a part of his plan. Number two, he said, we've got to look at it from God's perspective. We've got to say, "Lord, help me see it's not about me. Lord, help me to be able to step back from this situation and realize that the main thing that is going on in this situation is that this situation is for your honor and for your glory, not mine. This situation is happening to me. It involves me. It is a part of my life, and it does have to do with me, but it's not about me. It's about how I represent God. It's how I represent his son, Jesus Christ. How do I represent my family? How do I represent my church? How do I represent, if I say that I'm saved, how do I represent my salvation? How do I represent prayer? How do I represent faith? All of these things are part of the Christian life. And if we get too involved in the situation, in our mess, and say, "I don't like how this is going, and this isn't fair," and all of those things we like to say, we've got to be able to step back and say, "Lord, give me a new perspective. Help me see it's not about me." And we said, number three, we've got to keep our priorities right during the messes and stresses of life. We've got to be able to keep the priorities the right way. That phrase was simply, "I'm aware Satan's there, but I'm safe in God's care." Amen. What sometimes we do in the messes and stresses of life is we get focused on the wrong things. We get focused on the wrong people. As the message of Brother Buteau brought on Wednesday night was a wonderful message. By the way, if you are here for the very first time and you're wondering why in the world there are a bunch of deer head on the wall, we are not the weirdest church in America. We're one of the weirdest churches in America. But we do this during the summer as what we call the summer program. And we have a theme every Wednesday night. And the theme this year is obviously hunting. And so that is, we have special preachers in and all those things and do things for the kids. So come out Wednesday 6:30 and you won't be as puzzled why there's deer head on the wall. But I'm aware Satan's there, but I'm safe. Listen, you'll never be safer than in the middle of God's will. You'll never be safer than walking where God wants you to walk. You say, "Well, I'm in a trap. I'm in a bad situation. I'm in an unfair situation. I'm in a situation that I caused. I'm in a bad spot. I'm in a mess." And that's okay. As long as you're in God's care, you're just fine. And the problem is when we get into the mess and stress of life, we want to look at Satan and all his devices and all his wiles and all of his fiery darts. And we want to stop all of those things from happening. Instead of letting God fight our fight and focusing on God, getting closer to God in those situations. So he said our priority has to be right during the message instruction of life. Number four, we said our prayer life has to be right during the message and stresses of life. We said principle number four was this: God may have led us this way, may have led me this way to teach me to pray in a new way. God may have led me this way to teach me to pray in a new way. Another alternate kind of, a phrase you would say, the kind of a handy phrase to keep in mind when you're going through the message and stresses of life is the urgency of my emergency determines my fervency. And I am so glad I got that right this morning. The other day I said the fervency of your emergency is your urgency, and I was all messed up. By the end of it, the person who I think was an atheist, they didn't even believe in God. But I was like, man, I had such an opportunity there. Didn't quite follow through on that one. The urgency of your emergency determines your fervency. I mean, we all have a regular Christian life we live, right? We wake up in the morning, we go to work, we go home, we try to be a good husband or a good wife, we try to be good to the kids, we eat dinner, we eat supper, we have a little bit of downtime, we go to bed, we get up. That's our regular Christian life. That's our regular life that we live. But every once in a while, God puts us in a mess. And he changes that whole schedule. He changes our whole mindset. And he changes all of our things in our mind that we think is just going the right way and going the right direction. And it's smooth and there's no problems. No huge problems, no life-changing situations. And sometimes God turns it on its head and says, no, we're going to go this way. We're going to be in a trap. We're going to be between Etham and Migdal. We're going to be between Pharaoh and the Red Sea. We're going to be here for a little while. And we're going to show you how big the trials of life can actually be. And Brother Pete was just sharing with me before the service this morning. Mrs. Anthony's health isn't doing great. And she's had cancer before. And part of these tests this week, and they're wanting the church to know, part of these tests this week are possible cancer again. Listen, that'll wake you up right now. That's where the Lord will put you right in front of the Red Sea and say, okay, it's time to get closer to me. And I don't know why we just don't do that naturally. I wish all of us hungered and thirsted. You know, we look at different people in history and we say, man, I wish I was like that. Well, probably the difference between us and them is either they had greater trials than us that pushed them towards God, or they just had a greater hunger and thirst for God, and that's why they were able to do that. I don't know. But I do know that God has to bring messages and stresses into our life. Either it is a problem or a perceived problem coming. And so we get closer to the Lord. And I would pray that in the trials of your life, in the messes and stresses of your life, that your prayer life would be right. That you would get closer to God. That you would realize that God has led you this way, not to do it to you, but it's for you. And it's for His honor and glory. And one of the reasons He does these things, as He did in the people of Israel, in chapter 2 of Exodus, they complain. In chapter 5 of Exodus, Moses, they complain to Pharaoh. In chapter 8 of Exodus, they complain to Moses. And Moses complained to God and cried out to God. It wasn't until chapter 14, when they were put between the two stronghold cities and between the Red Sea and Pharaoh, it wasn't until that moment, the Bible says, that Israel cried unto the Lord. Israel finally cried out. Israel finally got the picture that it was time to get a hold of God. And that's sometimes what God has to do to us in the message and stresses of life. Let's make sure our prayer life is headed the right direction. Last week we said it's about patience. Life's trials and messes and stresses are about patience. We said it this way: wait and be still and let God work out His will. Wait, be still, and let God work out His will. I'm sure the Anthonys are anxious today. I'm sure your mom's name is Miss Sandy, right? Miss Sandy, I'm sure she's anxious about some kidney issues. I'm sure Miss Yvonne's laying in the hospital this morning a little anxious about her health issues. Brother Phil was sharing some things about Miss Betty's health, and we could just go around the room this morning and just point out all kinds of different health things that are going on and different trials and tribulations. And as your pastor, I'm privy to some things in this room I would never repeat, but I am privy to some things that some of you are going through. And I do know this, that there's nothing at those moments you're going to do about it. You can worry. You can yell. You can take out a loan. You can leave the hospital. You can blame the doctors. You can file a lawsuit. You can file divorce papers. You can do whatever. Listen, you can make some things happen here. But sometimes in the trials of life, God just wants us to wait and be still. And let God work out His will. I guess the question for you is, have you given God enough chance and enough room to work? Have you let God in on the situation and backed out of the situation a little bit? And as Moses said, hold your peace for just a little while and let God work out His will. Why did I look at you, Miss Lisa? Why when I said hold your peace, did I look at Brother Moffa? Why would I look at your wife when I said hold your peace? And I immediately glanced at and then I immediately looked at Miss Kathy. And then my eyes shifted to Miss Katie. I don't know. I meant to look at the men in the room, but I immediately... I'm sorry, ladies. I'm just going to look down. Men, we said last week, sometimes we've got to hold still. We've got to be still. Stand still. Stop pacing, trying to work it out. Stop making phone calls all the time. Stop trying to do everything in our power. Ladies, it's good for us to just go to prayer together with our husbands and just... hold our peace and let God work out His will. Be still, stand still, let God work out His will. Principle number 6 is a foundational truth for everyday living. This is a priority for the good days as well as the bad days. Number 5, remember the principle we gave was wait and be still, let God work out His will. So last week, of course, we just had the morning service. We didn't have an evening service because of our dinner on the grounds. And I got done with the morning message, and not less than 5 people said to me outside the door, okay, preacher, I'm going to wait and be still. What do I do while I'm waiting? How many have had that thought? Okay, I'll wait. What do I do while I'm waiting? The sad thing is 2 of the people who said that to me didn't show up this morning. I was looking for them at the beginning of the service. When the Bible says, Moses looks at the people of Israel in chapter 14 here, and he says in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. When he says, stand still, be still, see the salvation of the Lord, you've got to have patience in this situation. There is a pattern that we must always follow no matter what. You say, okay, I'm going to give this situation, I'm going to give this marital problem to the Lord, I'm going to give this financial situation to the Lord, I'm going to give this job situation to the Lord, I'm going to give this church situation to the Lord, I'm going to give this family situation to the Lord. Whatever the case is, whatever you're going through this morning, whatever you would say, I'm in a mess or I'm in a perceived stress, something is on the horizon, it's not looking so good, it looks like a train wreck, I think it's not going to work out so well for me. While you're saying that, you say, okay, I've decided I'm going to be still. I'm going to stand still. And I'm going to wait for the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord work out His will. That's a great determination. That's a great purpose to have. Not always easy to do. So what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do while you're waiting for the finances to come right side up? What do you do while you're waiting for your husband to come around? For your wife to give into the Lord's will? What do you do while you're waiting for a rebellious child to come back to the Lord? What do you do while you're waiting for that work situation and the boss to let up a little bit, or for you to get some time off, or for them to give you some benefits, or to stop reducing your pay, or to get you elevated, or maybe moved on to another position? What do you do while you're waiting? I have found in my life you follow the same exact pattern over and over and over again. I have figured out, understand this, that plodding, P-L-O-D-D-I-N-G, is always better in the Christian life than plotting. Anybody ever plot? Well, I'll do this, And then I'll call this person. And then I will give them a piece of my mind. And then I will walk in there and this is what I'm going to say. And then, ooh, when I get home, I'll say this to the wife. If you ever think that, men, you just need to just get out of stupid pit and not do that, okay? Don't ever fall in a stupid ditch. That is not good. Your comeback that is going on in your head, you need to peace be still. We have these ideas and well, I heard about this get rich quick scheme and it's supposed to be foolproof. And if I just get on the computer and if I just give them my numbers of my credit card, they promise me that by the end of the month, I'll probably be making $2,000 or $3,000 from home working 2 hours a week. No. You're going to give your life away and find yourself further in debt. The idea to get out of debt is not putting yourself in more debt. Heard a commercial the other day. You've got to get in debt to get out of debt. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm pretty sure to get out of debt, you're supposed to get out of debt. Well, you buy this house and then you mortgage yourself to the hilt and refinance and buy this house and flip this thing. And man, you would just be a millionaire 20 years from now. That sounds like plotting to me. I found out in the Christian life when I'm having messes and stresses, if I'll just plod rather than plot, if I'll just keep going the way I'm supposed to go and do what I'm supposed to do, it works out a lot better for me in the end. So let's look at it. This is the title. While God works out His plan, focus on what is at hand. Well, God works out His plan, focus on what is at hand. You could also say the message title can be this: while God works on the how, do your daily duties now. I didn't know which title to settle on, so I'll give you several. Don't make things too complex, just focus on what's next. I like this one. Don't be moody, just do your daily duty. But the pattern is the same. Look at Exodus chapter 14, if you will, this morning, verse number 15. Exodus 14 and verse number 15. The Bible says in Exodus 14, 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I thought He just told them to stand still. I thought He just told them to peace be still. Hold their peace. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. So I look at this verse and I think that's a direct contrast to what He just told them to do. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The last part of it, He says, peace, hold your peace. And then He says in verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So when I first started studying this, I thought, I'm going to skip over that because that doesn't work into my messages. So if you're supposed to stand still, you certainly don't want to be going forward. And then I realized, when you're standing still about a mess, that God always wants us to keep moving forward. Let me say it this way. Let me show you it this way. When the Israelites were in a mess between two cities, the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh behind them, there was approximately 3 million people that traveled to this point. So sometimes we think, you know, this is like our church getting up and going on a camping trip. You know, 150, 200 people were by a river. And, you know, 150, 200 people take up a pretty good amount of space. But how much space would 3 million people take up? My second question is this. Had the water parted yet? No. Moses was telling them that God is going to take care of the mess. Your job is to get your stuff together. Your job is to take care of your family. Your job is to get your flock together. Your job is to get your belongings together and move forward. We're going to let God take care of the Red Sea. We're going to let God take care of Pharaoh. I'm aware Satan's there, but I'm safe in God's care. We're aware that all of these things around us. And we've prayed and we've cried out to God. And we're trusting Him for the result. We're trusting Him in the mess. Now your job, Israel, is just to move forward. Your job is to trust God and keep moving forward towards where we're going. And I find God's people so many times get paralyzed by problems. When something bad happens in their life, over here at work, they stop coming to church. One has nothing to do with the other. Somebody has problems with the boss and they take it out on their spouse. One has nothing to do with the other. You're supposed to be going forward even in your messes and in your stresses. Well, what about the Red Sea? What about the 600 feet of water? Well, what's going to happen when we... That's not for you to decide. That's not for you to take care of. You ever move 600 feet deep of water? And you're not going to. So while God is taking care of that, while I'm trusting that I'm in the middle of His plan, while I'm doing what He wants me to do by standing still in that situation, I'm to be moving forward with all my other things that I've got going. I might not be able to move forward in my marriage, but I can move forward at work, and I can move forward in my ministry, and I can move forward at church, and I can love my wife, and I can love my husband, and I can take care of my children, and I can be a good dad, and I can be a good mom, and I can be a faithful servant to the Lord. I can do all of these things. I can still pay my bills. I can be honorable. I can be honest. I can do all of these things because God has commanded me to go forward. So I begin to look in the Scriptures. And I found out that God rarely gives guidance for two steps ahead of time. I would love to be able to tell the future. Anybody with me? Yeah. Some people don't want to be able to tell the future because it would scare them. It would just give me assurance. Like, oh, that's where we're going. Okay. Now I can trust the Lord. Oh, it's going to work out for good in the end. The Lord will get the honor and glory. Okay, I can trust Him now. And God's not saying it that way. God says, trust me. God says, stand still in that situation. God says, hold your peace in that situation. But then He says, while I'm taking care of all of that and taking care of Pharaoh, and that's what He says, I'll take care of Pharaoh. I will get the glory on Pharaoh. I'm going to destroy all of them, their horsemen, their chariots, everything. I am going to get the glory on Pharaoh. Your job, get to the Red Sea. Your job is to move 3 million people from where you're at to the Red Sea. Your job is to move forward. Your job is to get your stuff together. Your job is to feed the flock. Your job is to take care of your family. Your job is to walk. I'll fight the battle for you. People become paralyzed by procrastination when facing a problem. So what can we do to address this? Let's look quickly at some scriptures this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts 17:11. While you're waiting, while the situation is a mess, while God is repairing some things, while God is moving in those situations, while God is allowing those things on the horizon to move closer, what am I supposed to do? In Acts 17:11, the Bible says, let's start in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures, what's that next word? Daily, whether those things were so. They searched the Scriptures daily. I would say the very first thing that you should do daily while God is taking care of your mess and your stress, while God is moving in this situation, however He's going to do it, we have no idea. I'm safe in His care, though. While He's doing that, number one, I'm going to stay in the Scriptures. I'm going to stay in the Scriptures. Not only stay in the Scriptures, I'm going to search the Scriptures. I'm going to really try to figure out what God wants me to do in this situation. One of the ways that God speaks to us is through the Scriptures. It's amazing. He wrote the book thousands of years ago, and it still speaks to us through the Holy Spirit conviction every single day. And so while you've got this huge mountain in front of you, while you've got these strongholds beside you, while you've got Pharaoh and his chariots after you, while you've got this huge Red Sea in front of you, what you can do today, you might not know what to do tomorrow, but what you can do today is stay in the Scriptures. I talk to young people all the time. I say, do you know what college that God wants you to go to? Or do you know if you're supposed to go to college? No. Do you know what college you're supposed to go to? No. And so their entire senior year, they check out and do nothing for God. I'm pretty sure that God's never wanted you to take a year off in your Christian life. And if you want to know what God wants you to do, I believe with all of my heart that one of the ways you're going to find that is in the Scriptures. Now, He's not going to name that college in there. But He will give you principles and He will give you direction and doors will open in your life and you'll go, my goodness, what in the world? I didn't even know that's how the Lord worked. I didn't even know that's how the Lord spoke to His people. I would say, number one, if you're having a mess today, if you're in a stress today, if there's some things that are coming your way that you're not too excited about, I would strongly encourage you to stay in the Scriptures. You're not going to fix it. You're not going to finagle it. You're not going to manipulate it. Stay in the Scriptures. They search the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. May I encourage you to daily search the Scriptures. Number two, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Another principle of the Christian life that so many people are paralyzed by when they get in life's messes and stresses is in verse number 23. And He said to them all, if any man, is there any man here? Any man or woman? Who's any? Anybody here? Hello. Anybody? Any means any, right? Oh, that's right. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, next word, daily. We should daily search the Scriptures, but number two, we should daily take up our cross. We should daily take up our cross. This means we must suffer, we must be rejected, we must be slain and be raised, all for one thing. It is not for our sins. It's not for our own sakes or benefits. We are to suffer, be rejected, be slain, and be raised for the sins and sake of another. Isn't that why Christ went to the cross? That's what the cross was. That's what He's describing to them. I'm going to take up your cross. Why did Christ have to take up the cross? Because He was a sinner? No. He did it for your sake. He did it for your sins. And He said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to be a child of mine and come after me, let him deny himself. Let him put all his messes and stresses aside. Let him put all of his stuff aside. Take up his cross daily and follow me. To take up one's cross is to serve others, though you will not be appreciated. This is a lifelong endeavor. It is tough to deny yourself when you're in the middle of a mess. It is tough to think about others when things are falling apart for you. But the Bible says if you're going to come after Christ, if you're going to really want to do what God wants you to do in this situation, if you're going to live the Christian life the way it's supposed to be lived, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Let's look at Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. See, as your pastor, as the preacher, I can't possibly tell you how to take care of that mess. Because when we get in the middle of messes and stresses, it is only God who has the answers. These are not things, you know, there's certain problems that come up in the church and I could take care of them in seconds because God has shown me, give me some wisdom, and it's in the natural flow of things and I can take care of them. There's certain things that come up in my family and in the church and in my life. I can't possibly take care of it. There's things that come up in your life, and I think, praying for you. I know that's what you want out of your pastor, you know. Good luck. God bless you. Man, will I be praying for you this week. Walk away like, oh boy, this is good. The pastor didn't even have an answer for me. I must really be in a mess. It's true. I don't have the answer. Moses didn't have the answer. Moses standing still like the rest of the people standing still. Moses had a rod. And what do we do next, Lord? You put us here. So nobody's going to have the magic answer for you. So what do? You stay in the Scriptures. You keep taking up your cross. It might have been somebody that hurt you. You've got to take up that cross. You got to keep going. You got to keep following Christ. You got to keep identifying with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Walking in newness of life every day. And then he says this in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 13. We'll start in verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another, next word, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One of the jobs we have every single day is to encourage those around us. We're supposed to be daily searching the Scriptures. We're supposed to be daily identifying and taking up our cross with Christ. We're supposed to be daily exhorting others. It sounds like while you're in the middle of a mess, it sounds like you've got some stuff to do. You're supposed to be staying in the Scripture. You're supposed to be saying, Lord, I appreciate your death for me on the cross. I appreciate you praying for my sins. I am going to take up my cross today. I'm going to do what you want me to do. It might not be popular. It might not be the greatest thing. Everybody might not like it. I'm going to forgive so-and-so. I'm going to forgive so-and-so. And Lord, I'm going to walk with you today. I'm not going to let any of that stuff stop me. I'm going to stay with you today. And I'm going to trust you today. And I'm going to worship you today. And he says, and then find others to exhort. There's others who are going through the deceitfulness of sin. The sin is in their life, and they need to be encouraged on their walk with the Lord. And your job as a Christian is to be encouraging other Christians. It is to be encouraging those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior to push them towards the Lord. The Bible says we're to be daily doing this while it's called today. Daily exhorting. We won't look at the rest of the Scriptures for sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians 15:31, we're supposed to daily die. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. That's different than taking up your cross, because that's about trusting Christ and identifying with Christ and His burial and His resurrection. The fact that I die daily means that you're not going to affect me. You're not going to be able to hurt me. Dead people cannot be hurt. I don't have feelings about that. I'm not going to get worked up about that. I'm not going to go down that emotional roller coaster with you. I died. I'm supposed to do that every single day. Some of us are the most emotional people that have ever walked the face of the earth. We're so emotional. something is happening, we fall to pieces. We blame, we yell, we cuss, we get mad, we get angry, we lash out, we say hurtful things, we pout, we get angry, we get all of this stuff going in our lives. It's a cesspool of emotions. The Bible says you're supposed to be dead. It's not, your wife ought not to be able to get to you like that. You're dead. Your husband ought not to be able to get on your nerve, on your last nerve. Why does women always have their last nerve? Y'all need to grow up, get a couple more nerves. My whole life, my mom said, you're on my last nerve. I've been on your last nerve for like 12 years. That is the world's strongest nerve. It has been hanging on forever. Oh, you are on my last nerve. I thought George was on your last. I thought Richie was on your last. How many of us are hanging on your last nerve? Please tell me that. You ought not to have your last nerve. Some of us need to stop learning this motion. I see it all the time in Christians. We say to our children, well, I'm up to here. I'm up to here with that. My boss has got me up to here. How about God getting you here? I don't know. Maybe we could just stop and say, okay, did I die today? How am I getting so frustrated if I'm dead? How am I getting so emotional if I'm dead? How am I getting so affected by everything around me if I'm dead? Paul said, die daily. Psalm 61:8 says this, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Psalm 119:164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. We're supposed to be daily praising God. Dead people praising. Sounds like a rock band, doesn't it? Dead people praising. Sounds like something one of these Christian rock bands that are out there. Dead people praising. Bible says to praise daily. Psalm 86:3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray. We're supposed to be praying daily. Listen, there's so many things that you should be dealing with daily. You won't have time for your mess and stress. You're supposed to be moving forward. While that mess is happening, you should be moving forward in the Scriptures. You should be praying daily. You should be praising daily. You should be dying daily. You should be exhorting others daily. You should be carrying your cross daily. You should be searching the Scriptures daily. There is a lot for God's people to do on a daily basis that we do not have to mess with our messes and stresses. God has a job for you to do today, and it's to plod through the Christian life. Sometimes it's plodding. Sometimes it's enduring. I like these people, super spiritual people. I'm not going to endure mine. I'm going to enjoy mine. Yeah. Get in the middle of a mess and then enjoy it. There's just days you don't enjoy it, right? Even when you don't enjoy, you need to have the same pattern every day of your life. It's the same pattern. A pattern of good works. You should be in your Scriptures. You should be praying. You should be dying daily. You should be carrying your cross daily. You should be praising God daily. You should be exhorting. There's at least six or seven things right there. Just type in the word daily in a commentary on the computer and see how many times the word daily comes up in your Scriptures and figure out what you're supposed to be doing daily, and you'll never think about your mess and stress again. You might get to prayer time and give it to the Lord, and you might have to deal with it from time to time as it crosses your path. And you might have to say, okay, I'm aware it's there. We've talked about that. Hey, I'm not going to act like it's not there. I'm not going to act like I don't have a bill to pay. I'm not going to act like I don't have marital problems. I'm not going to act like I don't have problems at the job. I got to go there every day. I'm aware Satan's there. But man, I am so safe in God's care. And while I'm standing still and letting God work out His will, I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to do this today, and I'm going to find somebody to encourage today, and I'm going to take up my cross today, and I'm going to die today, And I'm going to praise God today. And I'm going to search the Scriptures today. Because God has so many wonderful things for you and I to do on a daily basis. I love this phrase. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly in the distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. I don't know how that situation is going to turn out for you. I couldn't possibly, even if you come and ask me and said, I'll have to pay you $1,000 if you tell me how this thing's going to turn out or give me some answers. I couldn't do it. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. It might keep going the direction it's going, and it might end up at the place you said it was going to end up at the beginning. It's possible. But that's dimly in the distance. That's something you and I do not know because we don't know tomorrow. But I do know what clearly is at hand today. And I know I can love the people around me. And I know I can encourage the people around me. And I know I can stay faithful to His Word today. And I know I can take up His cross. And even if it hurts me and it's persecution and it's something that is not working out for me and it's hurting me, it's something that Christ went through too, and I can take it. And it's the least I can do to be a living sacrifice. I don't know where we got this idea that a living sacrifice is supposed to be comfortable. It's probably going to hurt a little bit to go through the messes and stresses of the Christian life. But I can exhort and encourage and love, search Scriptures and pray and praise. There's a lot I can do today for God's honor and God's glory. Let me finish this story this morning. So I've been in a mess and a stress. Several weeks ago, I came to you and I said, I need somebody to pray in $12,000 to $15,000. How many remember me saying that to you? $12,000 to $15,000. Oh, good. Some of you didn't even hear me that day. That's good. I'm glad you've been praying for it. Thanks. Glad I can count on you to pray when I ask you to pray for $12,000 to $15,000. Yeah, I heard you. Didn't matter much. Well, it mattered to me, and I was in a mess. And it's a good mess because it was caused because we've had a bunch of students coming into the school. I mean, we literally have probably 20-something students extra than last year. We start the year with 32, end it with 41, and we're flying past 60 the next few days. So we have 52 signed up, registered, and paying right now, Brother Dave. And, 55. 52. All right. I don't want to exaggerate about that number. I called on the carpet the other day about that. But we have several other promises and people that are coming in for interviews and things like that. So we're in a mess. I mean, like, we don't have enough space, place, desk, all those things that happen when you run a school. So I thought, okay, the estimate is $12,000 to $15,000. We met with the deacons. We said, let's take out a loan. No, we're not going to take out a loan. All right, I'm going to go to the church and say, somebody needs to write us a $12,000 to $15,000 check. Well, that hasn't happened, mainly because 60% of you weren't even praying for it. You're killing me, man. Anyways, so we're praying, man. We don't even know what to do. We've been in a standstill for 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. We have no idea what to do. So we have desks downstairs, and those desks actually came from Pastor Cole's. If you remember Pastor Cole, Pastor Cole's old school from Ohio. When that school shut down, they called us and said, for this much amount of money, you can come get our furniture, and you can have it. So we went over there with a bunch of trailers, and we went and picked it up and got it back here. Well, we said, who made that stuff? I mean, there's got to be somebody who... We got that from him, and let's ask Pastor Cole if he knows. And so Pastor Lear was calling folks and emailing Pastor Cole and trying to figure out where we got that furniture. Well, that was in mind that somebody in this room would write a $12,000 to $15,000 check. Of the 10 of you that were praying for it, one of you would write the check. It's getting lower and lower. So we just, in a holding pattern, Pastor Cole let us know who we can call, and we'll have somebody make us furniture, and they're $800 to $1,000 a desk, and this is going to be great, and this is going to be wonderful, and at least we'll have a new desk, and God's good. So Pastor Cole writes us back. He says, I have no idea who made the furniture. Great. He says, but I know the school that gave me the phone number to get that furniture before. Okay. So he gives us a number. We call that number. The number you have dialed does not have a voicemail box that is set up. or is broken or something. I have no idea what it said. All I know is a message came on, and I was really excited about it. We're sitting in my office, and I'm like, what are we going to do? I said, what's the name of this academy? So we looked up the academy on the internet. They had the same number that we had, was on the internet. So I looked under their contact us, and it had a different number there. It had had both numbers there. And so I called the other one. The principal of the school answers his cell phone. I'm like, who puts their cell phone on the internet on their academy website? He did. Praise the Lord. We needed it. So I talked to him. I said, look, we've got a bunch of furniture that was said that you guys kind of got us in contact with somebody. Long story short, how do I get a hold of this company that made this furniture? And he said, I'll do you one better. He said, we've gotten so big as a school. He said, we've gone away from ACE because we ran out of space. And he said, we've had to go to like traditional classrooms. And he said, we put all of our ACE furniture that we had for 100 kids or 60, 70, I don't even remember when he said on the phone, between 60 and 100 kids, we put all of our furniture in storage. Yeah, that's what I said. I got goosebumps. I said, you have AC furniture, do you? And he said, it's been in there for 2 years. And I'm like, 2 years in storage. And he goes, yeah. He said, matter of fact, if you could come and get it, come over and get it on Monday, you can have it. So he sent me a picture, and it is between $20,000 and $25,000. Those that weren't praying. Some of us were praying, and I didn't need your stinking $12,000 to $15,000. God gave us $20,000 to $25,000 of free furniture, and we're going to pick it up tomorrow, man. Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? I tell you what, you know, the temptation the last 3 weeks is just to kind of give up. Like, how do we do this? Like, I literally told Brother Dave, I said, these young people are sitting at eight foot tables. I don't know what to do. I got nothing. Do you know I read my Bible every day for the past 3 weeks? I'm not touting myself as some great Christian, but I have learned this. There's nothing I can't make furniture. You don't want me making your furniture. And that furniture was in Ohio. There's no school around here that has furniture like we have, that is nice as we have. And so I can fret about it, but some of you I've been able to encourage in the last 3 weeks. You didn't have any idea that was going on the last 3 weeks. And again, I'm not saying Pastor Schwinder is the greatest spiritual person in the world. All I know is this, in the middle of life's messes and stresses, I've got two choices. I can plot, how am I going to do this? Or I can plod and I can search the scriptures daily and I can pray daily and I can praise daily and I can encourage others daily and I can die daily and I can let the problems of life hit off of me and go right to God and say, God, I'm just going to move forward. I'm just going to go towards the Red Sea. I'm just going to start the school year like you wanted me to. I know I believe in Christian education. I know we're supposed to have a school. I know that these kids need some good Christian education. I don't know how all that's going to happen, but I'm going to move forward. And at the last moment, God says, I'll part that Red Sea for you. And that's what God does in your messes and stresses. Amen. And listen, I don't even want you to look at me this morning. I want you to give all praise and all honor and all glory. For the Lord gets the honor and glory for that miracle. The Lord, it's not my faith. Listen, most of those days, I would have the kids at 8 foot tables. That's how much faith I had. Well, probably a couple of them be on the floor. Probably stick a couple of them in a closet somewhere. Probably use a few of the auditorium chairs and some 8 foot tables. And that's how much faith I got. I don't know. I just know that I was supposed to read my Bible and not be paralyzed by the problem and not mope around in front of the staff and not mope around in front of you. I've been carrying that for 3 weeks. And I'm glad 3 weeks ago I said, Lord, it's yours. I have no idea what to do. I can present to the church. Maybe somebody has a burden for it. Obviously not. But I didn't need you to have a burden for it. God was already out in front. God already knew. So I want to ask you this morning as we end the service. At the end of the service, we're going to have some offering plates in the back. I'm taking six men with me after the service tonight, and we're going to Ohio tonight. And we've got to rent U-Hauls, and we've got to stay in a room tonight, and we've got to get some food and some ability to get there and back. And so I'd pray and ask if you would sacrificially give this morning just for this miracle that God's done for our church, that you would help us get there and get back for the churches, for the school's sake and the school's honor and glory, for the Lord's honor and glory. And what a fraction of a cost this morning for what God's done. But I want it to be a lesson to you this morning. I want it to be a lesson to you for God's honor and God's glory, that while you're in the middle of your mess, while you're in the middle of your stress, give it to God and daily do your duty. Don't try to focus on what's dimly in the distance. Focus today on what's clearly at hand. May God help us to do it. Would you stand together before we pray this morning?